Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wessex Safety Hour conference call hosted by Tracy Chapstick. Audience participation is obligatory. My name is Sheila, and I'm your operator for today. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, please key star zero on your telephone, and a coordinator will be happy to help you. I'd like to advise all parties this conference is being recorded, and I'd like to hand over to Tracy. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Wessex Route, on this cold but sunshiny day. I hope everybody is well. Again, you've joined the short store because you've got me and my voice for the silent movies. This is the plan for today. I will go through this safety blog, the Wessex Hour safety blog. I want to talk about Safety Hour itself. I want to talk about close calls. I want to talk about the incidents that we've had this week, and it's been a bloody awful week for safety-related incidents and suffering of our staff. And then I'm going to do a session on the Network Rail 2016-2017 Home Safe Plan, which is the all-encompassing cunning plan that the safety people have to improve safety throughout the industry. And there's 21 of those plans, but I only want to focus on about half a dozen. So we will break for questions probably after the first section. I'd be surprised if anybody phones in because you've all got rather shy in your old age. I'm sat in working DU with two S&T managers, Jim Myers and Reginald Marika. So they're going to heckle me and point me in the right direction occasionally, hopefully. So, safety hour. Safety hour attendance last week was at 55%, and we have a target of 67%. Now, a couple of things. One is people reporting in that they've participated in the safety hour. So I think in my head there's a question about whether the stats are coming in. And the second thing is, we do this safety hour, and then line managers do a safety hour during the week on any topics they want to focus on, which is a good thing, because I'm sure this one isn't suitable for everyone. I was having a bit of a ponder on why there is a safety hour. Was it a whim created by some director somewhere, and is it going to go away? And the bottom line is, it is integral to this Network Rail safety plan. So I think it will continue to roll. And if anybody's got any brilliant ideas on how to make it a bit more interesting, or top tips to improve standard, let me know. I'd appreciate it. So we've got to get the numbers recorded up, but we have to make sure that the subject matter is suitable for the people it is aimed at. So with those two things in mind, any top tips anybody thinks of, please come out of the closet and let us know. The second thing on the blog is about close calls raised and the percentage of close calls closed within 90 days. Now, there was a comment last week, quite rightly so, which was, do we have a target for close calls or don't we have a target? Close calls is an interesting thing, isn't it? It is part of the corporate scorecard. And for anybody who doesn't know what that is, there are two elements in the scorecard which safety is measured, and this is the commitment we as Network Rail have given to the Department of Transport and the rest of the world on how we're going to measure our performance in safety. So, the bottom line, I think, with targets is there is an overall target per week, but, and this is a really important but, this is something we as a route have to buy into. And what we don't want to do is be putting the limited number of people who wear orange under pressure to report stuff that don't really matter to them. So there are a whole load in the system of really important stuff about rails, tripping hazards, access gates, crossing routes and all those things, which we are having to plan in and will take some degree of finance to get rid of. So we know about those. We kind of like to promote behaviours, but that doesn't mean just other people's behaviours, it's our own as well. So I thought I would confess to, on this telephone conference, and I hope my boss isn't going to have a word with me later, because I've already dealt with myself and been admonished by a chapman. So, these were my two close calls, and the reason they're significant is this. Drove into Woking Yard last week. Had to get out of the car to tap in the number, to open the gate, jumped in the car, drove in. As I did so, crew bus came round the corner. What I hadn't done is put my safety belt on. So I was told off by Steve, quite rightly, won't do it again. What did I do this morning? Drove into Woking Yard, tapped the number in, jumped back in the car and took off, and suddenly remembered halfway through that taking off manoeuvre that I need to put my safety belt on. Right, so in my world, that is two close calls. When somebody looks at the stats about who's reported, it's very easy, and when they come in low, a certain group of people looked at the low numbers last week and went, and I said, how many of you reported this week? And they all said none. Now, I wonder whether we have a predisposition, which is, it is something somebody else should report. So I've come clean about mine, and they will go into the system. So I think there's a lot more out there, and sometimes I think it's looking at our own behaviour and acknowledging we've got a problem, clearly, me putting in a seatbelt, on a seatbelt coming into the open yard, and they need to go into the system. So that's my confession in terms of close calls. There is a target, but we do not want to force it on the workforce. So if other people can look at their behaviours and put them in the system and close them down, that would be really useful, because we cannot escape the fact that it is in the corporate scorecard. Closing down within 90 days is also in the corporate scorecard, and actually some of them are really difficult because you're going to have to plan them in, especially on the infrastructure, to get rid of them. So my behavioural ones, for example, into the system, closed down within 90 days, done. And I'm sure there's a whole load of people out there doing things that are a bit on the dull side, but potentially are close calls. Because let's face it, if the crew bus had been moving faster, or I'd have been moving faster 2 weeks ago, I might have hit the bloody thing and gone through the windscreen. So that's close call stuff. Next thing I want to talk about is the safety performance this week, because we have had a shocking week in two distinct areas, really. One is slip, strips and falls, so we've had three quite badly twisted ankles this week. One in the inner DU, one in the outer DU, and one in the works delivery department. All three are on the infrastructure. All three are on the infrastructure at a place where, surprisingly enough, it is an uneven surface. And for those of you that go out there very often, you realise it's all a bloody uneven surface, and it's a bit of a problem. So, two of the three were carrying items, and the third one was working in darkness. There was a bit of discussion about the state of boots, and you put all three together. And then we asked some questions about whether people were wearing the right boots, whether we could get better boots, whether they were technically capable of doing the job. Now, we're still wearing stipe boots. There is no national trend in problems with stipe boots, is the first thing. So I pulled the catalogue today, and there are a whole range of stipe boots. But I think there might be something to think about in terms of low boot or high boot, because the high boot gives you higher ankle support. So, if I can get everybody to look at the state of their boots, look at the state of everybody else's boots around them, and decide whether you need to buy some more ones. Are they as good as they could be? Are they giving you as much protection as you could have? And if not, buy some. I'm not really interested in anybody's budget. I just want people to have good kit, because this is the weather conditions that are going to cause you more problems, because it's slippery and icy and wet, and apart from that, it's cold. PPE review, because you're going into the dark weather, but also check the state of your boots, and if you want some. And I know they're like an old friend, your comfy pair of boots, so if you need some, and they could be improved upon, make sure you get the guys to order you some more, because PPE is really, really important. The other thing that happened this week was another near miss with a train. Now, this was up on TSM Woking section, and this was a patrolling gang. And this was a patrolman cause who'd been doing it for many, many years, and he had two contract lookouts. Not a problem with contract lookouts per se, but when you normally go out with the same lookout, you know, direct employees, people get into a groove. Needless to say, the distant lookout potentially could have been caught between two trains. Now, this is subject to an investigation, so I am limited on what I can discuss, but there is something about that incident that screams out to me, are we making sure, as causes, we are being definite in our instructions? You will go to X and you will stop. This is your place of safety. You will stay there until we wave you to come out. So causes need to be really specific and quite masterful about their instructions. And I'm sure most people are, but there's no room for manoeuvre here, really. And the last thing about that is people being aware that they are in a position which is not as safe as it should be. So thinking about where you are in relation to everything that's going on around you, which is really, really difficult when you've been tasked with a job. So what am I doing? Where am I? Does this place me in any sort of danger? So that's the initial overview. So Sheila, can you open up the lines to see if anybody's got any comments on that aspect so far?
Thank you. So ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone, record your name, and then press the hash key. That's star then one on your phone, record your name, and then press the hash key. We have no questions coming through at this time.
Right, okay. I'll give it a couple of minutes, Sheila, so I can slurp a tea, and then I will carry on with the second aspect of this safety hour.
Thank you. question has just come through, and it's from the line of...
Steve Corey.
Please go ahead.
Mr. Corey, how the devil are you?
Yeah, not too bad, Tracy. Thank you very much, and hello to Wessex Crew. Tracy, with regards to the near miss that we had with 2 Juliet 2-6, which was quite close looking at these stills that we've got currently, it was Scanning Beach's contract at Lookout with a particular reason. I was just interested that you know, we did our own stand down, we did briefs, we did, you know, PowerPoint presentations, we did videos. How do we reach our contract community with the same voice?
Ooh, very good question. So, this is my expectation, and I use that word carefully. If you, if we consistently bring in the same contingent labour contractors, I would expect their briefing to be incorporated into the section that they support effectively. So if a section manager is doing a safety briefing, I would expect them to be included in that. On a bigger scale, we do include supply chain in our briefings. Every 3 months, Pretty has a meeting with our supply chain. And we will go through aspects of safety and what we have briefed out. So there are two levels. On the third level is all supply chain have to buy into Safety Central. Now, Safety Central is the dumping ground, effectively. It's an awful lot of safety information, bulletins, alerts, etc., etc. So they do pick up things independently from that. However, if we don't buy into the safety bulletin, safety alert mechanism that gets that information on Safety Central, it may well be that they would miss a bulletin. Now, if the organisations, the supply chain organisations, miss a bulletin or a briefing, the question then is, how do we expect them to do that with their guys? So, there is a system and a process, and that depends on how good we are at passing information on. Does that answer the question?
It kind of answered the question, Tracy. And again, you know, there's a responsibility as well with regards to cost that particular day and the importance of that briefing that we're not quite sure about at the moment, but it's really quite key that we capture that in the investigation. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. And we do have another question, which comes from the line of...
Gracia.
Please go ahead.
Gracia, my darling. How are you?
I'm good, Tracy. I really valued your example of the close call today. And I thought that was really, really good and honest. And I'm sure a lot of us can put our hands on our hat. We're probably able to be just as candid and honest, and actually also say about, you know, our behaviours that were not as exemplary as they should be. My question just to you though is, if more people start to be that honest about, you know, our behaviours that are not so good, you know, fiddling with the radio, you know, speeding slightly, you know, those kind of things, and we start to close call our own behaviours, what are the likely repercussions for people today? I mean, are we going to have investigations for all of these behavioural close calls that's going to likely come forward?
Yeah, this is quite interesting, isn't it? Because what happens next? So this is my theory. If I put it into the system, you know, and I've dealt with it, or someone else has told me off, and then I close it down. Would it go onto Pretty's radar? Probably not. And as I said to the lead entrapment at the time, if you put it in the system, tell her, you know, and you have actually been the one that's made me feel guilty, so I've been dealt with because I feel terrible about this, and I should know better. effectively, I've dealt with myself, or you've dealt with me, let's close it down. Would Pretty ever know, unless I come clean? And then she has to make a decision on what's the right thing to do. So, potentially, this is about trust, right? Because this is my view of the world. If you don't deal with what you're doing, if you don't deal with your limits or your hang-ups, or how the hell can you expect other people to deal with it? So this is about me trusting the world to say, actually, I was out of order, I should have known better, and wait and see. It's kind of like that knife amnesty, the old Bill run now and again. You know, hand in your knives and we won't take you out the back of the van and nick you. No, I don't know. I don't know. This is a test run. But if we don't do this, how can we deal with getting in the safety groove with everybody else? We've all got to be in the right safety groove. And that means dealing with you first before you expect things of other people. This is about personal leadership. So, I don't know is a short answer. We'll find out, won't we?
No, good, Tracy. I really value that, and I take that to heart. So, likely to follow in your footsteps as well, and we'll all see what happens next. Then,
yeah.
All right. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you. We have no more questions at this time.
Oh, I was getting into that. There were some good questions there. Right. So, we'll go back to a quick outline, because there's limited information that people need to know about this. We will go back to a brief outline of the corporate strategy, the corporate home safe plan. And people are going to have to forgive me here, because I might read some stuff off bits of paper. So, what is it? This is Network Rail saying these are the things we're really interested in, and these are the things we're going to deliver over a period of time, because some of them deliver next year, some of them deliver in 2 years' time, to make sure our people go home safe. So, now 21, and I'm just going to talk about a few of them, but I'm going to read out what they are about. So, number one is fatigue risk management. Number two is risk management including WARAs, so those are work activity risk assessments and risk awareness. Number three is the management of occupational road risk. Number four is sentinel enhancement to IP. Number five, electrical safety delivery program. Number six, safer trackside working. Number seven, planning delivery of safe work. Number eight, procuring for contractor safety. Number nine, safety hour. Number 10, community safety. Number 11, level crossing risk reduction. Number 12, platform train interface. Number 13, prioritize technology for level crossing safety. Number 14, identification and monitoring of train accident risk reduction. Number 15, health and well-being, respiratory. Number 16, health and well-being, medical standards. Number 17, mental well-being resilience. Number 18, health and well-being, first aid. Number 19, manual handling. Number 20, business critical rules. And 21 is an integrated management system. So that is an overview of all the programs in the Home Safe Plan. I have put this on the blog for those of us who suffer with insomnia or like getting in the safety groove. So, project overview of the fatigue risk management. Now, that is about developing the development and publication of a new fatigue standard with corresponding training material and driving the business towards a not exceeding 60-hour working week. And the benefits of that are related to fatigue-related incidents, and it's also about a commitment given to the ORR that we would reduce our average working week below that 60-hour threshold. The second one, risk management, including worries and risk awareness, which is quite an interesting one, actually. The law places an obligation on us to have work activity risk assessment, to carry out risk assessments on all our activities. There are worries in existence, piles of them actually, on most of our workforce activities. This is about identifying the risks, the hazards and the risks, and coming up with mitigation to protect our staff. So they're reviewing the new, they're reviewing the existing and creating new worries. And the intention ultimately is to give staff accurate risk assessment data and mitigation measure data to improve injury and ill health problems. So the second one I just want to mention briefly. Third one, management of occupational road risk. We've seen more about this one because in the year we did the big drive. This also focuses on vehicle tracking systems, not for anything sinister other than to understand and improve our driving capability, and we've also got a local project on that subject as well. The ESD, electrical safety, is quite comprehensive, and there's an awful lot in there, and actually the benefits included are, or anticipated, are fewer isolation injuries, a simpler isolation process, less irregularities, reduction in frequency of earth or short circuits that's being applied to live lines during isolation, and similar benefits, whole load of them. The Safer Tracks Our Working Programme is quite interesting, and this is about research and development of new high integrity track worker protection and warning signals systems. To reduce the risk of staff being struck by train. And there is a lot of work being done inside that programme to bring in technological solutions. And I think we've got two bits that we are interested in. One is the Lewis stuff, and the other one is Satwiles, both aimed at minimising lookouts, waving flags and standing in on the infrastructure, giving warning times. The lead for that for us actually is James DeMar, fine young chap. Planning and delivery of safe work, that is an interesting one. So, what are we doing in relation to that at the moment? Actually, the loosely related is the 019 standard update. So it is going through a process of stakeholder review, and actually 019 will now encompass site and task risk. But we've got to go through a process of review and rollout in relation to that standard. Ultimately, there will be a technology solution, but looking at this, it's a bloody long time away. Procuring for safety, more checks on supply chain, one on the safety hour. Now, the benefits for safety hour is are noted as this: to have line management talk about and engage with their team around safety, to increase risk awareness and safety solution ownership, as an enabler for staff to challenge around safety. Safety hour is about staff challenging as well, and regular communication channel across the business. The other one I like is mental resilience. An overview of this one talks about sickness absence data from 2014 to 15, mental well-being being the top reason for absence, accounting for 24.5% of recorded long-term sickness, with an average of 60.1 days per year absence. HSE apparently report 9.9 million working days lost due to work-related stress. Some of the benefits identified are improved management capability in managing mental health, to build awareness and education of well-being and enable a more resilient workforce, to increase the percentage of employees who are not troubled by their work environment, and obviously reduce the cost of absence, including, I hasten to add, the additional stress of absenteeism on other people on the team. So that's quite an interesting one. Manual Handling Improvement Program, which incidentally is one of mine, and we've got to do a whole load of manual handling risk assessments to improve how we manage manual handling in this business and minimise two things. One is the injuries to our staff, lost time and non-lost time in my world, but also bring us in line with the law of the land. So, does anybody have any questions on the Home Safe Plan?
Thank you. So again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, just key star then 1 on your telephone, record your name, and then press the hash key. So that's star then 1 on your phone, record your name, and then press the hash key. There are no questions coming through at this time.
Okay, in which case, I think I want to say three things. Get into the safety groove, check your boots and buy better ones, and if there are any problems associated with any of the things I've discussed today, give me a call. Actually, there's a fourth one, is look at yourself, and accept your limitations, and come clean on any misdemeanors using the close call system, and we'll see what happens. Apart from that, thank you very much for your time and use of your ears.
Thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining and enjoy the rest of your day.